No worries.
The button.
No worries. I mean, we'll just do whatever we do with first, we'll do the BMW second.
That's me singing for you. That's me singing
It's
for
like
you.
the dating game. Get those nerds!
Yep, that's right. We're late. Welcome to a late edition of the Bid Nerds. Better late than never. I don't know if that's true. Your daily nerd out on the most interesting cars of the day on all the automotive enthusiast auction sites, including Bring a Trailer, Rad for Sale, P Car Market, and Cars and Bids. Hello, everybody. My name is John Polnick. I'm coming to you live from the Las Vegas Strip in Las Vegas, Nevada, as well as my partner, Michael Deeb, coming to you from foggy San Francisco.
JP, it's really cold. Let me go get a sweater on. I'll be back in a few minutes. Yeah. It's freezing, man. I'm gonna go get a cardigan on, man. Oh. Holy crap! It's wet and like foggy. It's cold out. We got the I got the heater on. It's set at like 73, and it comes on in the evening. Like that's how flipping cold it is here. So tell me, are you suffering the same fate?
Yeah, welcome to the Bid Nerds Weather Hour, where we talk about the climates in our respective states. Now, we got a late start this morning because we're out shooting photos for Vegas Auto Fest. Mikey P. Shot Porsche of Las Vegas, as well as Lee Patet Images, our in-house staff photographer from Getty, came out this morning. We had Jeff Chu and John Alcantara and Radu. We had just awesome cars out there this morning. You should have seen the spread of cars out there.
I'm sure. I saw your little cattle call, and I was like, oh, I can't wait to see what he gets to show up. And what's funny is you texted me last night, and I think there was like some weird autocorrect. So it did like VAG. Mm-hmm. And Esther and I, she goes, what does VAG mean? And I was like, I don't know. So we started coming up with like, you know, video of golf. I don't know. Like we were just like making shit up to try and figure out what you were doing. I was like, well, clearly he's working and he's getting paid to do it or something since we're pushing the show back. Anyway, that's awesome, man. I'm glad that you had a great turnout. Super jealous I wasn't there. And my car wouldn't have made it anyways.
We got for sure. Come on, what are you talking about? Your car's the baddest. Actually, it would have been awesome if we had your Benz out there. A 190 would have been really, really cool to have in the mix. We had some pretty spectacular cars. All the tourists were stopping and taking pictures and stuff. So it was we got in everyone's way. We had a great time. If
Perfect.
We blew by you on the Red Rock Loop this morning and you were in a rental Hyundai or something, not sorry. Yeah. We had a great time. Without you. All right. Well, hey, what we do is we make predictions of what we think cars will actually sell for when the hammer hits the sound block at the end of those cars' respective auctions today. We always start out every episode by going over our previous day's predictions. Today we were supposed to have a guest. We were supposed to have a third nerd. We were supposed to have Chrissy from Everyone Racers.
Chrissy, what's up?
Yeah, hopefully she's listening. She's going to come on tomorrow because we had the shoot this morning. Everything got messed up time-wise, we will bring her on mañana.
Isn't Chrissy, and I think, and again, I'm totally guessing here, but isn't she involved with one of the guys on the show? Isn't she?
One of them. Take your pick. I don't know which one.
I don't know
which
one either.
You can just make a guess.
And I really don't want to guess and offend everybody before we get them all on a show individually. But aren't they in a different time zone? She's not in the West. She's not in the PST, right? Where aren't
yeah,
they
they're not
somewhere?
They're not Pacific. Yeah. They're Midwest, Ohio, or something
so
like that.
So when we push to 10 a.m. instead of 9 a.m., we push to 10 a.m. Isn't that like 4 in the afternoon for her?
Yeah.
Like, I don't do maths.
Yeah. So. Exactly. Something like
Sorry,
that.
Chrissy.
So we
hopefully we'll
up.
Get you on this week. Yeah, maybe tomorrow, maybe.
Yeah, and I'm actually going to be on their podcast tonight, Everyone Racers. It's on YouTube.
That's awesome. Tune in.
And, I'll be there live tonight. I think we start at 5 or something like that, or 5:30. I don't know. Check out Everyone Racers on the YouTube.
So when you're on, what do they talk about since you're not a racer guy? Like, you love to drive. You're probably one of my best driving people I've ever met in my entire life, and you're not the racetrack guy. You're not an Apex Clipper or a 10-10s guy. You just like to be out there.
Yeah,
so
I really do. I have some basic understanding of all that stuff, but
when they start talking about adjustable camber plates, do you fall asleep at that hour, or do you drink coffee? How do you get through the show?
Yeah, I don't know. The thing on their show, and it'll be interesting to be part of it. If you've ever watched Everyone Races, they've got like four people on. It's a Zoom meeting, document, and you know they've got a Google Doc, and they've got kind of like a loose structure to it. And I don't know how the hell I'm going to follow along with that. I don't do homework.
They take the minutes and start the meeting. I mean, it's very official. They do a really professional job. They make our show look garagista.
It'll be fun. We'll tell you how it goes. Everyone come onto their show and make fun of us. What
channel do you find it on? Is it a YouTube thing, or do you have to
It's on YouTube. Yeah, I don't know YouTube. If they do an audio version. I assume they do. But check Everyone Racers. Everyone Racers. They focus on like lemons racing and stuff like that. Racing for normal folks.
You got to brag about having Jay Lamb on. I think they'll be like, ooh.
That's true.
I think they're probably like a 8x10 glossy of him on the wall in their corporate office. You know, like when you go to the post office, and you see the current president. I think Jay Lamb is their guru.
Kind of like Patrick Sweezy. exactly. Jay Lamb is their Jesus.
The Overcrest Jesus.
We worship the Sweeze, and they got
Sweeze
the
is the Overcrest Jesus. We are going to get T-shirts made for Utah Rally in September. We are doing that. Rochelle, please, if you would. I know you handle all of that sort of stuff. Thank you.
Shout out to our friends at Overcrest.
Jake and Chris.
And Chris, man. Chris was hitting me up yesterday. He found He found like a Mark III Golf in that like terrible Calypso green. I don't even think it was Calypso green. I think it was like more of just like that teal green, just a bad teal green.
Yeah.
Four-door Mark III Golf with an auto tragic, but it has really low miles. He's like, hey, what do you think this would go for on BAT? I think he wants to flip it. I'm like, I don't think BAT would accept that car, but Cars and Bids would. That's Doug DeMiro all day long. Should I swap
really
the transmission?
You should just swap the car.
He probably make some money on Cars and Bids because someone wants that car. It's neither of us though. Okay, I told him Volkswagens never really do well. Did we talk about any Volkswagens yesterday?
Maybe we did.
Yesterday's cars. Let's go over our predictions. You had a bit of a comeback. You almost seemed like you know what you're doing.
I did, or I got lucky. Maybe Yachty's, you were checked out because you had the big video day. You might have just fallen asleep, but yeah, right. I wiped my feet on you yesterday. All right, let's start with the Singer, which was an interesting result because I think we were kind of in the hunt on this one. It's interesting, the two Singers that P-Car Market has had previous to this, one of them sold in the deal tank for all the money at like 1.1, and the other one kind of failed to sell and then disappeared. I don't know what happened to it. It didn't really come up. It didn't get into even the Singer range of money. And so what's interesting, I think you and I both agreed that of the three that P-Car Market has represented, at least that we're aware of, this one looked to be would probably have the broadest appeal, being GT Silver and that gorgeous dark red interior. It had super low miles. It had the upgraded adjustable Olin suspension, and just a fantastic car built on a 1991 964. This is a Porsche 911 reimagined by Singer, with racing seats, oxblood interior, 6-speed manual transmission, a rebuilt 4-liter 400 horsepower motor. It goes on and on and on. And the aforementioned, the big upgrade on these cars is to probably drop, I'm guessing Singer charges $10,000 to $15,000 for the Olin suspension upgrade. But that means this car is probably, you know, is it a GT3 RS on the racetrack? No, but this car probably handles really well. That Olin suspension benefits from titanium nitride coated sliders. So this car is probably what it translates to, really smooth on the road and really amazing in the corners. And I JP, if one of us gets to drive one of this car, it's one of those things where it's like, dude, I'm not washing my hands or my feet. I just banged a Singer. You know what I mean? Like, I just, you know what I'm saying? Like, it'll just be, I think, a really cool experience. It's one of those bucket list things. All that is to say that I really thought this car had a chance to sell organically at the close of auction instead of being a failure to sell and wind up in the deal tank. I went 1.1. You went $25,000, just basically taking the over. And JP, we were really close. You were $95,000 away and I was $70,000 away. Our car sold in the organic auction at $1,030,000. So congratulations to P-Car Market. You guys – sold a Singer. Listen, I know you've made deals on Singer, but like this is, I mean, this is a true baptism for them. JP, wouldn't everybody who's watching PCAR market not be impressed that they've got $1 million client sitting there watching the auction going, click, I won. You know, I mean, that is bonkers. Doug DeMiro has got to be like, maybe I should get a nicer shirt. I mean, like, come on, man. Like, that's impressive.
Yeah. I mean, look, we've explained over and over again why Doug DeMiro isn't getting cars like this. It's because he's letting on Mark III Jettas with an automatic, you know, stuff like that. He just doesn't care.
That smell like vape and look roached out. Like cars that look like the, you know, what was that scene in the other guys? It's Will Ferrell and Mark Wahlberg, and somebody steals his Prius and they go to the impound and they talk about all the things that happened. It was like a bum orgy and a raccoon gave a litter of puppies and this whole thing. That's like most of the cars on Doug DeMiro's site. And then PCAR market, you know, holds the sanctions open and lets the Singer in. And it's like, good grief, man. I mean, that's impressive.
Yeah. Minimum requirements for photography. I mean, the photography on this car is excellent. You know what struck me on this car? This is totally off subject, really, but the colorway on this car, this is an S2000. How many times have you seen an S2000 in this color combination? I know it's GT silver, but it's very similar to their kind of grayish silver with that red and black dash. I'm like, what? I guess there you go. Even Singer is copying S2000s.
That's Jeff Harley's car. If Jeff Harley's Honda was reimagined by Singer, there it is. You know?
beautiful car.
His is gray with a red interior. That's why I say that.
That's true. All right. What else do we? There's some other pretty impressive cars yesterday.
Well done. Congratulations on the purchase. You got a Singer for $1 million. And as my partner stated yesterday, you don't have to wait in line for 2 or 3 years. And then this consignor got his money. And PCAR market sold the car and we were right there in the hunt. So I think that's everybody won on that one, including me. All right. So the 1972 BMW Bavaria, there was nothing very clear about whether or not this was a Survivor or a Resto. I just say that it was too clean and too perfect not to have been restored. And I thought was high at 65,000. You followed me up there because I bet you and I have never seen one in this nice of condition. And Yuri has one and his is dialed. It's really nice car. I think you've seen it. If not, when we go to visit him, when you're in town next week, we'll go by and see his Bavaria. But this result is going to make him very happy. JP, we were correct. It sold right in between us at $64,500. I happen to be a little bit closer, so I got the win. But Yuri's the one that's celebrating today because he just found out his car is worth probably three times the amount of money he's got put into it. And his is probably the nicest one I've ever seen in person. So,
wow.
Yuri, you are dancing in the street, my friend. And let's see who else. We haven't shouted out to almost everybody we know today. The BAT also had the 2005 Ferrari F430 Coupe with a manual transmission. Really nice car and a really interesting result. Again, 6-speed manual, low miles, challenge wheels, red tan. This is the car that everybody wants right now, and they are paying through the nose to get the last of the manuals and arguably one of the best driving Ferraris of the modern era, bar none, because of the gated 6-speed. It's actually very easy to drive. You will sort of focus on it the first few times you go through it, but you'll start to be able to do it without looking at it, and you'll start to understand that this is an incredible car. 500 horsepower. Anyway, JP, I said $225,000. You went the over at 250. I think your number would have been correct if there were been one more cool option like ceramic brakes or racing buckets, or maybe a really unusual for like a historic Ferrari color that would have brought the money. But our car sold at $219,430. Get it? Meant I was, again, just like $5,000 off a Yahtzee on a $220,000 car. So pretty close there. I think we were definitely in the hunt. And that's a great result. That makes sense. That's what they're worth right now. So that's right on the money. The one that was kind of a disappointment here, this 1984 Porsche 911 Carrera. This is an 84 M491 turbo look coupe that happens to reside in Canada. Now, the car has less than 60,000 miles on it. The black paint, the tan interior look like a car that has 60,000 miles that's been taken care of. It looks really nice. This guy's put a bunch of performance modifications. He's got, you know, lightweight forged 18-inch wheels. He's got a carbon fiber hood. He's got a really trick front air dam that puts more cooling air to his brakes and his air conditioning unit. That's it. the stock parts are included in the sale, so you can very easily snap this car back to look like a stock version of the car. But it does have to be brought in from Canada, and you can't just drive it across. You got to register it and paperwork and all that stuff. It's a little bit of a pain in the ass. So I thought that might hold this lot back, and I think you agreed with me to a degree. So I said 87,000. You took the under at 85. Our car failed to sell at 82,000, which means we were correct. What that car is worth in America is like less 90 grand. I think that's fair to say. But our consignor put the car on P Car Market, where they had recently sold a granite green car that had a G50 transmission and less than half the miles for like 125,000 bucks. So this car is in the deal tank for 115. And I think you would join me in asking the people at P Car Market, why do you entertain these fantasies? Like, do you have to just wink and nod just to get the car on to see what it'll bring so that you have a chance to make a deal? I think that's what's happening. This is sort of car dealer tactics. It's like, all right, you want 115, let me just write down 115, even though nobody in this room believes you're going to get 115 for that car. I sort of think that's what's happening. So that car, the bid goes on, the sale goes on that one. It's still available, but 115 is out of the question. That's not even a $100,000 car, JP, not with that gearbox and not being in Canada. No way.
Yeah. I don't know what they're thinking on that one. I mean, you're right. At P Car Market, they're going, all right, well, if we get the car out there, the owner of the car, seeing where the auction goes and seeing where the bids go, might get a little taste of reality, and they're like thinking, well, maybe we can talk them off the ledge and find a buyer. And they're also, I mean, I think right now it's really hard to do what we do and make predictions as to what these cars are going to sell for, because they're, who the heck knows? The right two guys can make some really funky stuff happen. 115 grand, not a chance. I don't think there's, I mean, clearly there isn't a chance, but maybe, you know, before they put this car up, they're like, well, I mean, we'll give it a whirl. If the consignor wants to put, I think P Car has to be careful with that kind of stuff, because if they have too many cars that don't sell, too many cars that go to the deal tank, is, you know, that's going to cause problems. Then people, and because I think that was an early problem that they had, right? Is that too many cars went to the deal tank, and you're like, well, why bother bidding? It's never going to make it there. And they kind of, they had their buyers trained, like you used to say, to just wait till it went to the deal tank. That seems to have gone away, because most of the cars are selling now.
Yeah. Do you remember Max Monahan from Utah? We had him on the show. And he has his little pot lot. He sells cool old Porsches and like some really neat 4x4s.
I'm sure he'd be happy to hear that you call his dealership a pot lot.
Well, I mean that in that he's not a franchise dealer. He's not a Hyundai dealer with flooring money. Right. So very cool shop. They do everything up there, service and rare maintenance and repairs and tuning and all that sort of thing. But he was telling me when you and I were getting started, like, you know, a summer ago, he was enjoying very regular success of making deals in the deal tank on P Car Market, bringing those cars to his shop and then remarketing them and putting them on BAT and selling them on BAT. And he was the only one I know that was actually doing that. And he was doing it regularly. Mm-hmm. I kid you not. I mean, not to exaggerate, but I think he did a couple dozen cars like that. That's impressive. Wow. Yeah. So, but don't, like, I agree with you, JP, those days are over. That ain't happening. And at 115, that ain't happening either. It's going to cost a couple thousand dollars to put this car back to stock. It's not going to happen for free. And it's going to cost a couple thousand dollars to bring this car into the United States. That's not happening for free. If those things were done, this is a $90,000 car. He's still 25 grand off, but those things aren't done. And I think 82 was all the money. So anyway, the P Car Market will handle him. That car is out there if you want it. It's definitely worth making a deal on, but that deal should not be six figures. I don't think it's there yet. Yep. All right. And then the last one was that 2003 911 with 193,000 miles. And JP, you said some really interesting things. You said, Michael, this car with 200,000 miles on a 996, just a regular, what is that, M, what do they call that motor again?
M96
motor. You were like, it's all used up. Like, this motor could fail or could just wear out with the bore scoring, and maybe the IMS goes, the replacement IMS could eventually go as well. They're not a permanent solution. They're just a longer lasting solution. And then when this goes, you're not rebuilding that motor. That's cost prohibitive. You're just going to buy another one off eBay. And that motor is still $13,000 to $18,000, depending on which one you buy. And that's the value of the car. So you said you didn't think this was going anywhere. I went 19 grand. You went 1996 just to take the over, but you were right. And kind of like, steered us into the right place. I got a Yahtzee. The car sold for $19,000, but that lot wasn't going anywhere. It was at like 18.9 when we looked at it, or 17.9 when we looked at it. It wasn't going anywhere, and that your take on that car bore out. So even though I got the Yahtzee, you were right on the money on that one. So
guy has a roof sticker on it. Is there anything in this car that's roof?
No, it just has a roof.
It's just a sticker.
A sunroof. Yeah,
it has a sunroof. Yeah. Okay. Good luck to whoever bought
Get
this
it?
Thing for
With
20
the yellow
grand.
Paint.
You're out of your mind, dude.
I agree. Cars and bids, too. That's a Doug DeMiro special right there. 200,000 mile, 996. Buyer beware.
Seller, nice work. You just got $19,000 for a boat anchor.
Seriously.
Good job.
Yeah,
all right.
If that motor were to let go, I mean, the guy's sitting on... Yeah, like, what would the car be worth with a replacement motor? 15 grand? I mean, like, oh, he absolutely got out from under anything.
You know, there is the possibility that this car goes for another 10,000 miles. That's possible. So maybe this guy gets a summer or a year of driving out of this thing, and then it blows up. He's like, all right, I paid 20 grand to drive a Porsche around for a year. That still just doesn't seem to pencil out when you can spend 30 on a good one and drive it around for a year or two and then just basically pay the maintenance and sell it for what you bought it for.
Think of what you could buy for $1,800 a month for the next year. I mean, you have a pretty nice car. It wouldn't be a 996, I'll tell you that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, at 20 grand, you could get the nicest 944 there is, and that car will last forever. This one, not so much. All right. All right. Well, that was yesterday's cars. That's kind of what we do is we nerd out about these cars.
That was,
we tell you,
that was a great take, by the way.
Right, the 944.
The 20 grand, you get the nicest 940. Go get yourself an S or an S2 and have a fantastic car that in 20 years you could still have, and it'll be just as great.
Yep.
That's a great take. That should not be just
Skelton from Drive All Awesome, since we're dropping all our friends' names.
If we go down there, let's steal his car.
I think that's an excellent plan. He won't have a problem with that at all.
He's never home.
We are going to be at Radwood this weekend. That's Saturday. If you haven't gotten your tickets already, check out Driving While Awesome's Radwood. The Radwood Festival is coming back. It's a festival of cars. If you've been under a rock for a few years or whatever, and you don't know what Radwood is, well, really, why am I telling you about it? Because you don't know what Radwood is. But most of you do because you're nerds and you're watching the show. Radwood is back this Saturday, and we are so excited to be there. We're going to be broadcasting live from Radwood this Saturday just for fun.
Yep.
So come and hang out, say hello, and be a third nerd for a little bit if you're at the Radwood show. All right, let's get to today's cars. Holy free-holy, P-Car Market has some badass-looking stuff. It was hard to figure out which one we're going to start with, but I got to go with what our friend Ben the Professor has basically said that is the this car that we're about to talk about is the pinnacle of human achievement. This is a 1996 993.
Look at this. All right, so JP, let's just start with some really basic stuff. I would say that white is one of the rarer colors on all 993s. Would you agree with that statement?
I don't know if I would, because I sure seem to have seen a lot of them and driven them myself. Yeah, I don't know.
I know. I know you did the 94S for your your TV show, your Porsche Road Trip.
Right.
You rocked that. You did what? Would you say you did 5,000 miles in the C4S that God had?
Probably more.
But I still think white on 993, especially a turbo, is one of the rarer colors, even though it probably didn't cost anything to choose this white. This is Grand Prix white. But the real story, JP, is the full cedar green interior, the cedar green special leather interior, which is just amazing on this car. I think the seats are really cool, but I still think, could you just do cedar green leather on the seats and then do like the dash and the carpets in black? Wouldn't that look really cool? I'm not sure that I feel the cedar green steering wheel and dash and door cards and carpet floor mats. It's just, it's too much. I think Porsche's learned their lesson. You could do better interiors now. I do love the color, but it's just too much of that color. So it feels like you're in the belly of a lizard. That being said, the rarity of this car, it might be the only white full cedar green interior car, 993 turbo on the planet, for all I know. It's got to be a really rare build. Our car is offered out of Miami, Florida. It's a dealer car. It's got 29,000 miles on it, and other than that, it looks to be bone stock. It looks to be excellent condition, very well preserved. The photographs despite being in somebody's like photography studio, are terrible. I would say these are not, I mean, they're serviceable, but they're just not, like, they're not selling me the car. They're just showing me, they're just closing the car. It's like looking at the, it's like looking at the service records. You know what I mean? It's very clinical, these photos. They do some paint meter readings, which I think kind of helps. The other interesting thing here, besides that unusual and special wishes sort of interior, JP, did you know this? This car in 1996 was only $109,000. I have to confess, I was surprised by that. I really thought they were more money when they were new. I would have guessed like 130 and up. So $109,000 for the MSRP on this was a little bit of a surprise to me. That being said, our car, you know, while 993 turbos had dipped down to $150,000 in the marketplace, they have jumped back up again. And I think this car is in for a big finish. So I agree with Ben. Even though I've never even driven one of these, I can only imagine what a 993 with 400 horsepower and almost 400 pound-foot of torque would feel like. It's still a pretty light car at 3,300 pounds, and it does have a six-speed manual. So a lot to like here. JP, take it away.
Yeah, if there is a car that's better to drive, I don't know what it is. I mean, this is the greatest all-around car of all time. It's like, I love 997s, and I'm a 993 owner. You know, the power on a 993 is just, a naturally aspirated one is lacking. There's enough power there to have a great time all the time. But you're always kind of left with wanting a little bit more. And if you've ever driven a 996 or a 997 with a 3.6 or a 3.8 or better or whatever, you know that those cars really are like, wow, they just, that's the perfect amount of power. I think, you know, if you're in the 350 horsepower range in a 911, that's the perfect amount. You, more than that is a heck of a lot of fun, but you never really feel wanting if you've got 350 horsepower or even really right at 300, right? You're never like, ah, oh, God, this thing's, yeah, sometimes you go, oh, it'd be cool if this had more power, but I'm good. You know, I'm felonious at this point with 350 horsepower. This 993 feels like the way a 993 should be. It has all the power. Yeah. You know, when you're driving this, it's like, it's all that beautiful wonderfulness that 993s have, but you're never sitting there going, man, if I just had 25 or 50 more horsepower, this would be the greatest car of all time. Well, here it is. That car with 50 to 100 more horsepower. It's just, they're just so good. They're so good. God and Porsche of Las Vegas, our friends at God and Porsche of Las Vegas, about 4 years ago, maybe almost five, when we were starting our Defascination series of YouTube videos, the ones behind us here, they handed me the keys to a white 993 turbo to drive to Monterey, and that was one of the greatest experiences of all time for me. It was such a good, it was so great driving that thing there, and then driving it back. I drove through Yosemite and then the back way through Nevada to get back to Las Vegas, and there were times out there in the desert where I was just like, going, am I really doing this? Because it seems,
that's
like
awesome,
right? I mean, so many people, like, this car, how many miles do they have on it? 29,000 miles. Have any of the owners who have ever owned this car had an experience like that? Or has this car pretty much just been sitting in the garage, they take it to a car show, maybe they drive it on a weekend or something? I mean, cars like this need to be enjoyed as described.
Man, oh man, that's awesome.
Right?
What a car.
Gosh. Yeah. Okay, so, you know, where is this car going to land? What's the number? Because I don't know anymore.
So, Jesus. Yeah, I don't either, JP. Our car was at, you know, like 190 or... I can't remember, but like 190, 200,000. It was 109,000 brand new. I don't know that this is a $250,000 car, but I think it's worth twice as much MSRP. So I was going to go 220, but our car is up to, get this, it's already up to 206. And it's got 2 hours, it's got exactly 2 hours to go. I'm going to leave my bid there at 220, but you know, they built less than 1,000 of these. I wouldn't be surprised if it brought more, but I think 220 is a fair number for a white green car. I just feel like that's got to have a narrow appeal. You know what I mean? So I'm going to go 220 and leave it there for you. Where are you at?
Yeah, that color interior is so bad, in my opinion. I mean, it's going to be hard to sit in there. I mean, you're going to have to look past the dashboard and remind yourself that, oh, yeah, I'm in the most beautiful car in the world from the outside. That color interior, even with the 993 design, which is one of the most beautiful designs, is so ugly. And you mentioned that Porsche has kind of learned their lesson in regards to this. And I think they were forced to, because up until a couple of years ago, literally, right? I mean, up until, what was it, 2017? They were still making all one, you know, like, okay, if you're going to order all one color, a crazy color, like red or green or something like that, have a black dashboard, have black door cards. You know, those accent colors can look fantastic with a bunch of black color in there as well, offset by it. But when everything is that color, it's just gross. And Porsche was literally so sued. Because on the 997s, they have such a long dashboard. The rake of the glass on the windshield is so, you know, it's not steep. It's very long. And so there's all this dashboard on both the 911s and the Caymans and the Cayennes and stuff like that, that in colors that weren't black, they were reflecting off the glass and people couldn't see through the damn thing. So there was a lawsuit, and now you cannot get a dashboard that is any color other than black. By law, basically. So you'd think Porsche of all companies would have known that was just ugly. Here it is. Now they've been forced to do it right, and they look so much better for it. This car, if it had a black dashboard and black carpets, would really, 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 really be unbelievably awesome. But the thing is, all that jibber jabber about the color and how ugly it is, somebody wants that. People, Porsche guys, are all about weird color combos, and someone is just going to be like, it's funny. What do you think, Deep? Do you think the person that's going to look at this interior and be so jacked up that it's green, they're like, oh my gosh, it's green, it's so rare, it's rare color, blah, blah, blah. That's also a direct relationship with people that don't drive the damn things.
Right. Agreed. You know? Absolutely. Yeah, the guy who thinks that's amazing probably has no intention of, like, you know, like just clipping the apex right at RPM and, like, you know, doing a really fast upshift from like second to third and just blasting down the next straightaway. They are not the same person.
Yeah, because they're never going to have to sit there and look at it for more than a couple minutes when they drive it to the car wash or the detailer or something like that.
Mobile detail for that guy.
Yeah. Is there anything worse than looking for a detail guy on, you know, online or something like that, and you see their ads and they're cleaning exotic cars? Like, those are always clean in the first place. Why? I want to see a muddied up, you know, off-road truck or whatever. Clean that. Then I'll be impressed. Yeah. Wow, you can clean the speck of dust off of a Lambo. Whoopity-doo. Anyway, sorry, I digress. Did you give a number on this car yet? What do you think?
Yeah, so it's at 206 on just two bids. On 10 bids. $206,000 on 10 bids. My bid is $220,000. Send it to you.
Yeah, I'll go ahead and go 230. I'll take 10 over on that. I think this. I've never seen a 993 turbo. I mean, I think I have, but going over 200. When I saw the number that was sitting at 206, I'm like, what the hell? Because that's not even that low miles. It's just the crazy rare green color. And, you know, guy that's not going to drive it is going to buy it for all the money.
To be fair, it is low miles. We would definitely describe less than 30,000 as low miles. But it's not like an unused car either. So it's kind of in a sweet spot where I think you could drive it and enjoy it. Mm-hmm.
It's just not delivery miles, right? I mean, if it were in that couple thousand mile range, now you're talking about like a super
Car comfortable. Was only ever wiped with a diaper. But anyways, we'll see.
All right. There's another 993 let's just get to the other 993.
P-Car Market. Okay. I'm going to try and jog your memory here. Do you remember when you and I went to, where'd we go? Not Austria. We went to Forzheim, Germany, outside Stuttgart. Do you remember that? For the Porsche Classic Global Roundtable.
No, when did go to Germany and do a keynote speech in Germany in front of Porsche? I don't remember.
For the fascination.
Yeah, when they sent us to Germany and put us up for a week and all that stuff. Yeah, I don't recall that at all.
You were on too much LDS in the 60s, so you don't remember. But anyways, one of the guys we met, a guy that was our age with dark hair, was a guy named Nick, and he was the parts manager for the classic department at Porsche Monterey, which is a classic partner. So Nick was on that round table with us in Germany. So Nick's team built this car for a Porsche Classic competition in 2019, something that Gaudin obviously didn't participate in.
They haven't finished their car because they're rebuilding their service department.
Oh my god. Well, anyways. These guys said they built this car 2 years ago and displayed it at Monterey in 2019. So I think they did this for something that Gaudin didn't participate in. In any case, they took a C4S with 164,000 miles on it and reimagined it by
I don't think they took a 4S. I think they took a 4. I'm sorry to interrupt, but I think this is a narrow body car.
No, it's not. Take a look at the hips. It's just, I'm I'm almost positive this is a wide body car, and they made it. They took a C4S and turned it into a C4 RS reimagined by Porsche Classic Monterey. That's that. That's their shtick to the thing. So I believe this car has the hips. If you find some pictures of the rear quarters, take a good look. I think this car does have the hips. In any case, they put all the authentic RS, like the wing and the front wing spoiler and all the cool stuff. They put the 18-inch wheels on it. And then they redid the interior with houndstooth racing buckets and the sport steering wheel. And then they rebuilt the motor to be 3.8 liters. And they took it to Monterey, had fun with it, and sold it. The current owner of the car is in Chicago, Illinois. The odometer on the car shows 164 miles. So they even changed out the odometer because they basically rebuilt every aspect of this car and repainted it. But what you have here is a four-wheel drive RS that was not built by Porsche but was built by Monterey, and it has 3.8 liter. I don't know if this car would be street legal in California, but it sure looks like the ultimate 911 that I've ever seen. This thing is amazing, and if it is 3.8 liter, I'd have to think this car has got to be making over 300 horsepower. JP, this looks like it'd be really freaking neat. So what do you think here? Do you like this car? Do you think it's a narrow, or do you think it's a wide body?
Yeah,
it's look at those hips, don't they look—
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, they always look low. They always look wide when they're low. I mean, that's like with my 993 cab. I can't tell you how many times people go, I didn't know they made a wide body car. It's like a wide body cab. And it's like, well,
wow,
that's because they didn't. But I'm not going to say that this isn't. I mean, they may have started with a 4S. I mean, so the real Evo Club Sport is not— the real RS is not wide, right? Isn't the real—
No, they're all narrow. They're all narrow.
So that's why I just kind of assumed, all right, well, if they're going with that. Look, I have one big objection to this car, and it's not a dang thing about the car. It's the way it's described. I am so— look, I got to bring us back on camera here. Do not use the term reimagined. That is your competitor's slogan. That'd be like Coke going, hey, we're the choice of a new generation. It's like that. It's just— that's not your slogan. That's someone else's. At Monterey Car Week, that one year when you and I were there to promote your fascination, we had that big tent there and stuff like that. Gunther Works.
That was 17.
Yeah, they were out promoting their new Gunther Works car. That was— they were brand new to the market, and you had Vu Nguyen out there interviewing them. They had, you know, the loudspeakers and stuff while they were doing the interview. And, you know, he's out there going, yeah, this is a Gunther Works car, and it's, you know, we reimagined the thing in a different way. And it's like, why? That's your direct competitor. You're going to sell a $500,000 car, and you don't have a couple of bucks for a marketing department that's going to say, don't do that at the very least. Reimagined is a slogan. It is a slogan of your competitor, and you're out there using it. What the hell, you guys? That is— I am so ticked off by that they would even consider doing that. It's just like— it's just sheer stupidity from a marketing point of view. I want to see something like this car, because this car isn't reimagined at all. It's the way it would have been. This is the car that Porsche would have made. So it's not a reimagination. It's a recreation. Boy, it's beautiful, and holy cow. I mean, you see these sometimes with the, you know, like the it looks like a GT2 Evo Club Sport, right? With the riveted fenders, but this is like wide without the riveted fenders. So
this thing's amazing. They do state in the ad, JP, that it was started with a 97 C4S and then underwent a complete nut and bolt restoration to be brought back to RS specs. And they left nothing undone. Like, the suspension is done, the brakes are done, the wheels and tires, the fit and finish of all the correct Porsche part, RS wings and spoilers and all that stuff. And then they did the seats and the interior. And then they completely rebuilt the motor with new pistons and bore it out to 3.8. I mean, this is as faithful a clone as you can find. And they even put a new odometer on it because it's basically a brand new car. So they're rinsing the 164,000 miles off it because every piece on this car is new. I can only imagine how breathtaking they must have spent on this car. But take a look at this thing. JP, this car is already over my bid with an hour and 40 minutes to go, offered out of Chicago, Illinois. The 4RS, the 993 4RS as they clone it, is already up to $203,000. My original bid was $200,000. Right? So, yeah. I mean, this thing is going to break the bank. That's a lot of dough.
Being a wide body, what do you think this thing's going to come in at?
Yeah. So I think this is, listen, this is going to sound sacrilegious, but I think this is cooler than the car that Porsche made. Now, if I were doing it, or if you or I were doing it, how cool would it have been to have the wide body and then drop the front diff? So you've got a basically a wide body RS with just two-wheel drive. I think that's the only handicap left on this car is the – did you see that finger in the video right there?
I did, yeah.
Yeah. So anyways, I think that's the only handicap left is that the that it's powering the front wheels. So other than that, I think this thing's really neat. JP, I think it's so funny. You went $230,000 on the turbo. I think this car is going to sell for $230,000. So I'm going to steal your – bid, but not steal it from you because it's on a different car. So I'm going to go $230,000 for the 4RS, the wide body four-wheel drive RS. What do you say?
I think you're right on. I think this is the cooler car. This is certainly the car I'd rather have. And yes, I just said I'd rather have a naturally aspirated 993 over a turbo 993. Polar silver, my personal favorite, on black with that houndstooth. This car, I mean, there's just, you don't need to do a dang thing. There's no mod on this thing. There's no compromises. This car is brilliant. I'll go 235. I'm not going to go much higher than you. I think it's going to be between 225 and 245, somewhere in that range.
Yeah, I think so too. I don't think it'll bring 250, but if it did, I also wouldn't be surprised by that number either. I'd be crazy. If it got up closer to like 280 or 300, then I'd be like, what are you guys doing? This is just a 993. Nobody's going to give you that money for it. And for that kind of money, you could have a real RS. So it's got to.
Could
there
you?
Has to be
I mean,
some...
could you? I, that, yeah. We haven't yeah, seen I mean... what a real RS come for sale during all this craziness. I mean, that a year ago, that was real RS money. But if we saw like the one you guys, speaking of Godin again, they had that red Club Sport, right?
That car, I bought that car.
You bought that car for the
I bought that car because it was a real Club Sport. And while they made 1,000 RSs over a two-year run, they only made like a handful of Club Sports. So I thought, if we just get that car in here on a Nevada title, we'll get all the money for it. Now, I have no idea what they sold it for. I assume they sold it for profit. But I think that if that car were still on their lot now, if they would have cleaned it up some, spent a little money on it, which they did not want to do. They were really upset by the purchase. But if they would have cleaned it up and sold it in this market, they would have made, you know, I'm not saying six figures, but they would have made a lot of money on that car.
Yeah, I mean, that you guys were struggling to get someone to give you like three and change or something like that.
Yep.
In this market, that, isn't
someone
should have
bought it.
Car?
That's yes, that
yeah,
someone should have
bought it.
Yeah, he'd have at least $100,000 in equity if he bought it that. And Godin, I had it teed up where we were going to do like a $30,000 overhaul with all RS parts on that suspension. It would have been that car would have been tits McGee. Mm. He should have bought it, but I understand he was buying a business, so it's fair play.
Yep.
He bought a house.
All right. Well, let's get off the Porsches for a little bit and see what else. What do we got? This classic from the Japanese side of the
check it out. Look at this on Cars and Bids. Doug DeMiro found us a 1995 Nissan 300ZX. Stay right there, JP, on that photo for a second. 300ZX twin turbo. This car only has 41,000 miles. These are super hikus four-wheel steering. It is a five-speed manual. It's a T-top car. But just looking at this, if you look between the headlights, JP, you see those little louvers that are grafted into the bodywork. That's aftermarket. And that lower front valance is also aftermarket. I think the rockers and the rear valance are also aftermarket. And what's interesting is that the guy who owns this car only put like a couple hundred miles on it. And it doesn't appear from the ad that he has any of the stock parts to put on this car. And that's significant because I think that this would be a $40,000 or $50,000 car being a 300ZX twin turbo manual super hikus in white with such low miles. I think this would be a $40,000 plus car. But since he doesn't have the stock stuff to put it back, I think that this this particular lot is really handicapped. And that's a bummer. His chrome wheels are starting to show rust. The bodywork looks cheap, to say the least, and the fact that he doesn't have the stock stuff to put back on there, this is just a crying shame. It would be worth it for this guy to spend the $2,000 or $3,000 and put it back to stock, and go get himself another $10,000 or $15,000 for this car. So I just don't understand this lot. I don't understand why Doug and his team at Cars and Bids are not counseling his potential consigners and say, look, man, go reshoot this car, go get the stock stuff and put it back on here and make yourself, set a record for this car. Go get $40,000, $45,000 for it. Anyway, that's my take, JP. What do you think when you see this car with the mods and no stock parts? I think he's ruining his equity.
For sure. And I understand the idea of, okay, well, you have a car that's got kind of, you know, some issues or whatever, and you don't want to put out any money, and you just want to basically take whatever you get and move on. But this guy's really leaving a lot of money on the table. A lot of times fixing stuff doesn't make sense, but on this car, it certainly does. How many miles does this car have on it again?
41,000 miles. Yeah, JP, this year he brought the car to the service department twice. Once in June for an oil change, basically before he shot it here.
Yeah.
He brought it in April and spent $663 on the major timing belt service. So all that service is up to date, but it's like, dude, go to the junkyard and then have your body shop put on the pieces and put this car back to stock, and you will get, I kid you not, I think $15,000 more for this car.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. I think, you know, Doug DeMuro has damaged his site so badly at this point when it comes to the idea of aesthetics, right? We've talked about it ad nauseum. The photos that he lets the sellers submit are not adequate. They will not bring big money, and it just makes his whole site look bad. BAT doesn't care anymore, because BAT is BAT. Until someone steps up their game, they have nothing to worry about, because Cars and Bids clearly isn't doing anything about it. Here's what they could do. If I'm Doug DeMuro and he's watching the show like he does religiously, going, what do the bid nerds say about my platform that I'm making millions of dollars off of, and these two guys have 100 followers?
Because I care about what other people think.
Right, exactly. Clearly he doesn't, in his Crocs or whatever the hell he walks around in. You know, BAT and all the sites, and I think Cars and Bids might even do it too. They have a association with photographers all over the country, right? So if you go, when you go on a BAT and you list a car, I'm sure P-Car Market has this too. If you want to pay extra money for a real photographer to come out, they'll charge you an extra $300 or whatever to have a photog come out and take proper photos of your car. Okay, I get that a lot of people don't want to spring for that. They're just like, you know what? I'm not paying the extra $300 or $400 or whatever it is. That's to their folly. That's, you know, that's idiotic for them. But as Cars and Bids, as a platform where you're sitting there suffering and you're consistently doing more and more damage by letting ads like this go up on your site and making the rest of the cars on your site look bad, why wouldn't someone like Doug say, all right, you know what? We're going to spring for the photographer. We're going to spend three, you know, you pay us the $100 or whatever to list your car. We'll go ahead and front the money, the $300 for the photographer. If your car sells and meets reserve, then you get charged for the photographer. If it doesn't, then Cars and Bids just eats the photography fee. I mean, I think that would be a great investment in their platform and in their customers and in their sellers to just take the worry about, because look, not everyone's a photographer. I get it. I don't expect someone to be a photographer, but you need to know that you have to value photography. If you know you're not a photographer, pay someone. Don't think that it's just good enough to shoot because your iPhone has 100 megapixels or whatever BS metric that you think is important.
That's awesome. JP, if your Cayenne and my Ruby were sold, I think this would be a great car for us to buy. Because if we could get this thing for like $28,000, I think we'd be in at 31 or 32 with paint and bodywork. And I think this car would bring easily over $40,000 or $45,000. I don't think this lot is going anywhere. I mean, it's going to go somewhere. It's got 19 bids. It's got 2 hours to go. It's at $22,750. But I'll give you my bid right now. I put $33,000, and I don't even think it's going to do that. I'm just going to say $30,000, today. And it may not even make that, but I think that this is a $45,000 car if it's cleaned up in stock and no tinted windows, and put the stock exhaust back on and leave the, still in racing exhaust in the box or something. Anyways, whatever.
If the astute buyer doesn't pass over this because they don't even consider it because it looks so terrible, someone actually stops long enough to go, okay, maybe I can see through all this terrible photography and terrible bodywork. I just don't think that's going to happen on Cars and Bids. If this were on BAT, they'd get away with it. Somebody would see it and be go, oh, yeah, this car has potential. But on BAT, the person that has, even somebody that does see the potential, they're not going to have the money. I'm going to definitely bet the under. I'll say 28.
It's 25. You might get a Yahtzee. I mean, I think that's right where this car is going to fall flat. And I really, I'm telling you, man, we cleaned this car up, and you know, as Buddha would say, you know, how much do you think it would cost to unfuck that car? I think seriously, like, clean it up, market it right, and then put it on BAT. I think it's a $45,000 car, and yep. I don't think that's going to happen here. So,
all right, let's get to man. These last two cars. This BMW, man, we've been
this
we've
BMW been is some... right here. Oh, we took too long, so it's sold. But let's just talk about it anyways.
Okay,
listen. And I'll tell you what, I'll give you my bid anyway, and see what you think about it. So it's a 1973 BMW 3.0 CSL with showing 13,000 kilometers, but it's true mileage unknown. It could be 113,000 kilometers. I don't know. The car was originally sold in Italy. Interesting, JP. Between 73 and 75, BMW made 1,200 CSLs. Now, the real CSL is 440 pounds lighter than the stock 3.0 CS, the coupe, which is a significant amount of money, and those bring big money. But most of the CSLs were then retrofitted with something called the City Package, and the City Package put headlight washer wipers on it, it put power windows, it put a stereo cassette with an amplifier and speakers around the thing, and maybe sunroofs and a few other things. So the City Package cars were only 145 pounds lighter than a standard CS. So this car is a City Package car, which means it's desirable, but it's not the real CSL that is, like, you know, super lightweight with aluminum doors and aluminum hood and all this other stuff. By all means, this is still a great car. It's a 3-liter inline six. It's got a 4-speed manual, get drag transmission. It's got a limited slip differential. And the suspension is, you know, it's a little bit lighter car and it's a little bit stiffer sprung. So these are still very good driving cars. Now, this is not nearly as agile or as athletic as a 911, but these are still really fun cars to drive. My dad had a 3.0 CS that had terrible Zenith carburetors, but it was a manual car and it was silver with blue leather, and I loved driving that thing. It was really fun. It didn't hustle like an Alfa Romeo, but it was still a great car to drive. California black plate, it's on a California title. The car was at $170,000, and I thought that the car would make it up to around 240 grand. So JP, take a look at this car and tell me if you have any experience with these old BMWs. I think this is a car you would absolutely enjoy if you haven't driven one.
One of the classiest looking cars I think I've ever seen. Certainly
good grief,
BMW.
Right?
Are those seats stock? Is that what they came with?
Yeah, really? They came with those seats. Can you imagine putting those seats in a 911? Those are bitching. The corduroy inserts are really cool, and the fact that it has headrest makes it really safe. That's a great seat.
Huge bolsters there. Yeah, no, my dad did not have cool cars, you know.
Your dad had cool
really
guns.
Lucky. Yeah, he had some cool stuff, weren't one of them. Well, you know, the thing is, my dad did have cool cars before he had me, and then he just stopped. I don't know what the heck.
Right.
That's a whole other story. But this car's absolutely gorgeous. I'm not aware of what they're worth. The black stripe on the silver looks so good, and I like it, frankly, better than that kind of martini colorway. I think this is more subtle and more classy. So how much did this thing sell for?
So our auction closed before we got to it, which is kind of a bummer. It just closed, and it closed at $220,000. Wow. So we'll do a not applicable to that one. But that, I think that's fair. If this were a real CSL, JP, with a 440-pound car, not a City Pack car, I would say that this would be a $280,000 to just over $300,000 car. And then they did a handful of homologation specials with those big wings and the box fender. Remember those? They call them the Batmobiles. You remember those cars?
Yeah, for sure.
And the Batmobile, that's the whole league. Those are $350,000 to $400,000 cars, because they made, I don't know, let's say 25 or 50 of those. So a lot of CSLs were retrofitted to look like Batmobiles, but they're not real ones. The real Batmobiles, again, were to homologate the car to race in touring car in Europe, where they did really, really well, famously. But the real CS, the 440-pound ladder car, $300,000 car, that's not what this is. So at $220,000, that's fair money paid for what you get. And it's a great car with a tremendous upside. These generation of BMWs are absolutely moving in the right direction. So well bought.
Nice. All right. Well, let's. We've hit all the countries in Europe. What else we got? The whole
Italy. Let's go to Italy. Yeah. So here we go. 2003 Ferrari 360 Modena with just 6,000 miles offered out of Boise, Idaho. Has 2B exhaust. The timing belts were done in November of 2019. But what's interesting is that the big selling point on this car is that it's a 6-speed manual car. But when you read the ad, it turns out that in May of 2021, what was that, 3 months ago? This guy did a manual conversion from an F1 gearbox, and there's no receipts for the work. Show me the F1 gearbox in a box. Like, it's so strange that there's all these great photos and this, like, full disclosure with, you know, whatever the bucket list of photos is, but there's no record of the manual conversion, at least that I could see when I paged through it. And that makes me a little suspicious. All that being said, an F1 car is an $85,000 car, and a 6-speed manual car is like $120,000, $125,000 car. And our car, JP, is currently up to $112,000 with 3 hours to go. So it kind of leads me to think that the person who's bidding on this car doesn't realize that it's a conversion, because that number doesn't make sense. That it just doesn't. So anyways, what do you think's going on here? And do you like the silver with the beige interior? I'm actually kind of a fan. I think it looks pretty good.
Yeah, the car is gorgeous. I don't have any problem with the car, but from a value point of view, with a manual swap, that definitely affects the value overall, especially when you go to sell this car years or however long. I mean, if you're just going to drive it forever, who cares, right? But at some point, the value is going to make a difference. And so not having the original stuff, I don't think, you know, it's certainly going to be worth more than the F1 car, even though it's not a factory manual. But a swap manual is definitely not going to ever bring a premium. So this is a great driver car.
Right.
Where is this car sitting at now?
$112,000. And I agree with you. So, like, if this car went for $95,000 to $105,000 with the manual swap, I'd say, okay, that's cool, because a real manual will cost you $20,000 or $25,000 more. Mm-hmm. Maybe more, because this is just a 6,000 mile example. This is really low miles. But, you know, when you consider that, like, at 112, I just think somebody's already overpaying and there's still 3 hours to go. I think this car's going to go up to the 120s. And I feel like this consignor is making out like a bandit, because it's like the truth is hidden in the ad. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, it's just kinda weird.
They buried the lead. Yeah.
Thank you for that. Yeah, that's exactly right.
I hope that that's not the case. I hope that the people that are bidding on this, I mean, this is really why
are aware.
Have to pay attention.
Yeah.
We, you know, my partner does a lot of homework. He actually reads the ads. I hardly ever look at the dang things until we're doing the show. So, but you know, at the same time, it's like, I have bought cars with very little information. Like, I've been on Cars and Bids or Bring a Trailer and be like, oh shit, this thing's about to end in 10 minutes. Huh. Can I read this ad really quickly? Oh my gosh, it's down to 2 minutes. And I still have another couple paragraphs to go. I don't know. Yeah, fine. I'll buy it. And you're like, if you did that with this car, you might miss the fact that this is a swap and think that you're getting something that you're not. It's still going to be a great car. I would love to own this thing and drive it. Where's it going to land? Where do you think this thing's – what's the value?
I just reading the tea leaves, JP, I think this car is going to creep up to $120,000, but I don't think it's worth that. I feel like people are just reading the headline and
well,
like you
aren't
said,
real ones those going for $150 to $180 now? I mean, if that...
No, they're not. They're not. Not this. Not 360s. F430s are, and these are moving in the right direction. But to me,
well, hold on. 6, we just 000... saw an F430. How much did the F430 go for yesterday?
Yeah, $220,000. But the 360s haven't gone up that. There are no. They should be. This should be a $150,000 to $160,000 car if it was a real F1 car. But I think that the real retail price for this car, if the gearbox was original with 6,000 miles and being a silver car, this is $130,000 to $135,000 car. If it were red tan and, you know, maybe some wheels or something, I don't know, maybe $140,000, but they haven't brought $150,000 yet. They're getting there. And I think they deservedly so. These are great cars. There's a photo, JP, in the bottom of the bucket of this, where he removed the panel behind the seats and you can see the timing belt through the back of the seats. Mm. And I think that's brilliant that he showed you don't have to drop the motor to get to the timing belt on this car, even though the belts were done a couple of years ago. I love that he took that image. But I think that 120 is too much for a gearbox swap. So anyway, that's but number? I still think it's good.
120. I think it's going to bring 120, but I think somebody's overpaying for it.
I think these are worth more. I think if it were a factory one, I think it's up there in that $150, $160 range. I know that we maybe haven't seen that just yet, but we also haven't seen many of these for sale. And with the F430 getting well over 200, not gobs over 200, but well over 200, I think $100,000 less makes sense for the older generation car, maybe a little closer to that for a real one. So if you're at 120, I'll go 125. I mean, 6,000 miles on the car, it's got a transmission. Where did they get the manual transmission? Was it a new one? Was it a?
I don't know. That's what I'm saying. They don't even talk about this. They just say it's a conversion. I'm like, what?
Have you read any of the questions?
I didn't get into that.
I bet that's in the conversation. So if you're going to spend $125,000 or more for a car, or $100,000 more for a car on an auction, I'm sure you're on there asking questions. Yeah, there's the photo of the access to the belt.
Isn't that a great shot? Yeah, I think that's really cool. There's two photos of it. I think it's. Yeah. I'm very happy that guy did that. I think that's pretty cool that he did it. Very neat photo.
All right, guys. Well, that's Bid Nerds. We got a late start. Thanks for hanging out. Thanks for finding us. Make sure you hit the subscribe, like, and notification button while you're at it. We will be back here tomorrow, normal time, 9 o'clock. We'll have Chrissy on the show from Everyone Racers, so we look forward to seeing her. And we thank you guys for watching. Anything you want to say before we're out of here, Michael Deeb?
No, I think we shouted out to everybody on the show today, so that was a good show. Yeah.
See you guys.
Get those nerds!